Shabbat shalom. This week's parasha is entitled Vayelech, which means, and he went. It covers Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 1 to verse 30. At 30 verses, this is the shortest parasha of the whole parasha cycle. This year, this passage falls on a very special Shabbat, the Shabbat that falls between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This Shabbat is called Shabbat Shuvah, the Sabbath of Repentance. A key theme of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is the theme of repentance, repenting of our sins and drawing closer to God. The Hebrew word Shuvah means to return. So the idea behind Shuvah is twofold. One, turn away from sins. And two, turn towards or return to God. As today's parasha opens, we find out that this day is Moses' 120th birthday. However, this will be Moses' last day on earth. As Moses mentions in verse 2, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to come and go. And the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. This does not mean that Moses was lacking in physical strength, because at the end of this day, he will be commanded to ascend Mount Nebo, where the Lord will gather Moses to himself. In fact, we read in Deuteronomy 34:7, although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. What Deuteronomy 31, verse 2, is telling us is that Moses' going and coming was limited by the Lord's decree. When Moses twice struck the rock at Meribah, instead of just speaking to the rock to bring forth water, as the Lord had commanded in Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, the Lord told Moses that he would not be allowed to bring the people into the land which the Lord was giving them. In one sense, this might have meant that Moses would not be allowed to lead the Israelites as they entered the promised land, but that he would have been allowed to enter it. But here, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, we receive additional clarification that Moses would not even be allowed into the promised land. Perhaps it seems harsh that Moses was denied entry into the promised land because he struck the rock twice to bring forth water at Meribah. However, Moses was the leader of all Israel, and at Meribah, he did not follow the Lord's command. Those in positions of leadership need to be held accountable to stricter, higher standards. Secondly, Moses' words do not reflect bitterness regarding his inability to enter the land. Moses demonstrates that he accepts the consequences for his actions and the judgment he received from the Lord. He must turn away from the sin of anger that he showed at Meribah and turn or return to God. In Moses' actions here in chapter 31, we see a beautiful picture of Shuvah in action. In today's society, where so many in leadership seem to make excuses or blame others for their own actions, Moses' example should be a true lesson to all of us. Moses reminds the people to put their trust in God, and the Lord will go ahead of the people. He reminds the Israelites that God will defeat their enemies in the promised land, just as Adonai won victories over the kings of Sihon and Og in Numbers chapter 21. Then Moses calls Joshua and instructs him to lead the people into the promised land, as had been previously revealed. Notice the importance of the order. First God, then human leadership. If we first trust God to lead us, we can then trust him for good spiritual leaders. This also speaks to the fact that although Moses was one of the greatest men who ever lived, he was not irreplaceable. At this time, Israel continued to have capable leadership under Joshua. However, later in Israel's history, we would not trust in God and we would end up not with godly leaders, but with wicked men who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. This chapter is also the conclusion of the ancient Torah. Although the book of Deuteronomy will continue for another three chapters, the law is sealed at this time. Verse 9. So Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and to all the elders of Israel. Verses 24 and 26 tell us that Moses instructed the Levites to place this Torah, this law, beside the Ark of the Covenant. At the end of every 7 years, at the time of the Feast of Booths, in other words, Sukkot, Moses commanded that the law be read in front of all of Israel at the place where the Lord would put his name, which would end up being Jerusalem. Verse 10. In Deuteronomy 16:16, we have the command that each year all males needed to appear before the Lord at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, and Sukkot, the Feast of Booths. And we have in this chapter, at the conclusion of every 7 years at Sukkot, the law was to be read to the whole nation. In this chapter, God also commands Moses that he should write down a song and teach it to the Israelis. And this song will be a witness against them for turning away from God. This song will be covered in the next parasha. As I mentioned before, today we are celebrating Shabbat Shuvah, the Sabbath of Repentance. And in this chapter, we have two very stark reminders of the great need for repentance. First, God tells Moses that when the Israelis are in the promised land, they will pursue other gods, forsake the Lord, and break the covenant that God made with them. This will cause the Lord to grow angry with the people, forsake them, and so many troubles and evils will come upon the Jewish people that they will say, "Is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have come upon us?" Verse 17. Later, in verses 27 and 29, Moses passes on what the Lord told him to the people of Israel in this way: "For I know your rebellion and your stubbornness. Behold, while I am still alive with you today, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more then after my death? For I know that after my death, you will act corruptly and turn away from the way I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days. For you will do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger with the work of your hands." Sadly, the words of warning from this chapter that I just mentioned have come to pass, not only in a historical context, but they continue to this day for a majority of not only Jews, but Gentiles as well. We should be examining our walk with the Lord all year round. However, this time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, known as the Days of Awe, is a special opportunity to examine where we are and where we need to be. Are there certain issues we need to bring before the Lord in prayer to ask that he help us? Perhaps in our marriages, in relationships with other family members, friends, co-workers. Perhaps we are dealing with other types of issues like selfishness, pursuit of possessions or money. Is work consuming so much of our lives that we have no time for others around us? As we look around us to see what other needs we might be able to help with, are we looking around us to see what other needs we might be able to help with in a hurting world? Are we pressing into God's work and seeking his direction? Throughout his life, Messiah Yeshua spoke of himself as the bread of life and as living water. I pray that we would allow ourselves to take in the sustenance that Messiah provides to help us with these and other issues in our lives. And on this Shabbat Shuvah, may we continue to pray for repentance, guidance, and a return to the Lord, not just for ourselves, but for the whole world. Shabbat Shalom.